Okay, from Tim and consultants, anything you heard that you weren't aware of or that surprised you or impressed you more?
Nothing really new. Part of the investment theme came out, which is, you know, an entrepreneur in their 20 or 30 starts a business, and by the time they've grown it into be a significant business, it's later in their life. Mm-hmm. And at that point, you don't want to take huge risk. And so, and you're not expanding it as quickly, you're not making big investments. It's a very logical and appropriate time to sell it to someone. And if you grow that, there's a big market of buyout firms that'll buy it at a higher price. So it's almost an arbitrage.
Okay. Well, I think the we could do a pop quiz here. What's the fundamental basis of private equity? And I think Karen already figured this one out. Relationships. Every private equity firm is going to come in and talk about, we've been doing this a long time, either at this firm or the previous firms, and we've got the great relationships. I think the differentiating factors are the size of the underlying funds and the underlying companies that they're going after, the process, and the focus. So did we learn anything contrary to what we believe going into it? Probably not. You got J.P. Morgan and Horsley Bridge, who have been doing it for a long, long time, but it's not their sole focus. You've got Sigler Guff and Bay Hills, who it's their sole focus, but they haven't been doing it for as long as a group. And I think that's probably one of the fundamental questions the board has to answer initially is, are you more comfortable with a broadly diversified group with a longer history, or back in the smaller group with a solid history, but just not as long together? And kind of proceed accordingly there, but that was the kind of dividing line I saw in the presentations here.
And where are they going to be in 10 years if this is a decade-long investment?
Yeah.
So, Tim, how likely are we to consider doing co-investments in the future?
I think co-investments have been proposed as part of the strategy. If we wouldn't be approving the co-investments, the manager would have the latitude to do co-investments.
So they would do the co-investments.
Yeah.
So,
and that's something we've pursued with our existing managers.
So when I look at the fee, the table three, the fee schedule, and trying to go, well, where's the difference in the fees? The only thing I can see is that, Horsley Bridge has a lower carry on anything they do as co-investment or secondary. Versus J.P. Morgan and Sigler Guff. So I'm just wondering how much
course,
that's really.
Of course, the bridge is not going to do co-investments either. So.
Right.
Yeah, we learned that.
Yeah.
That's another large differentiating factor. It's Sigler Guff really believes in co-investments. That's going to be a hallmark, and that's a hallmark of the real estate funds we've done with them as well. Bay Hills would like to do co-investments. They're bringing in a partner with direct experience. They're building that capability. They don't have it today. Horsley Bridge isn't going to do it. J.P. Morgan's going to do it, but probably to a lesser extent than Sigler Gov.
Tim, how much weight would you give the 12% hurdle versus the 8%?
I was wondering that.
It's material. It's a proof statement. They've got to return all their management fees. And they've got to return annualized 12% to us before they get their big payoff.
That's Bay Hills, right?
That's Bay Hills.
Right.
8% is industry standard, and everybody else was at 8%. Having a 12% hurdle rate, it's pretty different. And they're putting their money where their mouth is. Yeah.
It's what strikes me.
It really aligns in service.
Yeah.
Is Bay Hills only focused on the United States, and everybody else seemed to be more international? Did I hear that right?
I would characterize almost everybody as domestically or North American focused, with the exception of J.P. Morgan, who's going to have a sizable European allocation.
Okay, thank you.
I think Horsley mentioned the international market, but I don't remember them.
It's not a material
emphasizing it, right?
Yeah,
they mentioned it.
I would say they probably have capabilities to research that. That's not their primary focus.
What do you think about Horsley Bridge? Seem like they focus on the managers more than what's going on with the manager doing here.
Yeah, it's a philosophical difference, and one of the arguments would be, if you know how to do individual deal and company research, you probably know how the manager's thinking and can do a different type of due diligence on the manager. then again, you know, does it distract you from the manager? It's a philosophical difference. I think my bias is the more information you have embedded within the investment team, the better. That's my personal opinion.
Chief, similar, yeah.
Okay, we want to go around the table and kind of state your opinions and questions.
Sure, I won't have a vote, but I guess I can still express my opinion. I knocked Bay Hills out on a number of different reasons, and not the least of which is I'm sorry, when you come in and you say, we're not very good presenters, I think it's a really bad way to get started out with a presenter. I just don't think that's what you come in and downplay your presentation. So for future reference, that's not a good thing to crank in, I don't think. Bottom line, because we want to hear from rest of the people, I'm impressed with Sigular Guff. And I'm impressed with J.P. Morgan. It was almost a toss-up between the two. Sigular Guff, I think, has good performance and a good fee structure. I think George Sigular is clearly very much involved in what's going on. He's got his money where his mouth is, as well as the rest of the people. I'm impressed by the key person is Kathy Rosa from J.P. Morgan. I thought she was very enthusiastic, very energetic. I think she's got good experience. Sounds like she would be a key contact. And I think they had a good answer about the what concerns they have about their newsworthiness these days. So I would say probably a narrow Sigular Guff followed by J.P. Morgan and then Horsley Bridge.
I agree with your statement about Bay Hills, but actually I like them best. I don't know why. I they were all excellent. And for some reason, I'm giving more weight to the two California firms and the local firms. I liked how Bay Hills made their presentation because I felt that they were focusing more on the mom and pop and what have you. I can go with the majority, depending on how the rest of the conversation goes. I would feel comfortable with all of them. Right now, my evaluation criteria are not the big firms, so that lets out J.P. Morgan and Sigular Guff. Plus, don't we already have investments with them? Okay. And I know this is a separate kind of management issue, but so right now, of the two locals, I like Bay Hills, and especially, Tim, if you're saying that 12% is a high hurdle, but they have to do that, and they've got a proven record. I like that, but again, I want to hear from my colleagues.
I'm going to be pretty close to Karen. I like Bay Hills, and I like that 12%. That was very impressive to me. Unlike Jerry, I thought that doesn't bother me at all. If somebody comes in and says that my basic role isn't making presentations, my basic role is doing the work that earns you money. So I personally like that. I probably could overdo it, but I thought they were fine. I like the smaller, I guess, sense. I also like Sigular Guff. That would be my other one. Mm-hmm. But the trying to come up with a side-by-side on those two, I got the feel that the Bay Hills was much more focused on smaller. As contrasted to a much larger number. The numbers were smaller. I guess I like that. I like San Francisco. I have always, all my professional career, I like somebody close by as opposed to 3 hours and 3,000 miles away to deal with and to understand and to work with, et cetera. So I don't have a strong reaction on which of the two, but those would be my two, and I guess I'd have to have a vote if we got down to that, those two, but all four are strong candidates, so it's no question.
All four, I think this is a very strong group. My personal preference would be Sigular Guff. I think that they get right down to the nitty-gritty on every investment that's made, and the co-investment idea with them I really like, and I liked it with their real estate fund also. The they're somewhat unique in that they don't really do technology. They're doing Middle America type stuff, and they talked about adding payroll, adding jobs to these companies, and not basically going in and getting them and selling the pieces. All of the candidates have strong returns. The fee structure with Bay Hills is unique, but I just like the way that Sigler Guff goes about doing their business. The rest, what essentially these managers that presented today do is they select managers to make the investments. Sigler Guff, I think, goes a level below that in analyzing who they're going to, what managers they're going to hire, what individual investments they're going to co-invest in. I just have a greater level of comfort that they're providing a greater level of service. Scott?
Well, I guess I share a lot of your views. I like them all. First of all, to Tim and to Milliman, thank you for making this a miserable choice set. This is really hard. These are four really, really, I thought, very, very good firms. I liked Bay Hills as well. My top three are Bay Hills, Morgan, and Sigler. I moved a little bit away from Horsley simply because of the co-investment. I mean, if I had to find one little first separation, it was that. They sort of stood apart from the other three on that. But if we could choose more than one, I would. I understand there are consequences associated with that we don't need to get into here. But if I have my preference, that's probably what I would do. To me, if I had to get it down to the top two, it would be Sigler and Morgan. Mostly because, to me, and coming into this new, the thing that impresses me most isn't how good someone presents or doesn't, or you know, how polished it is, or maybe or not. It's whether the rigor in the diligence comes through. And for me, just like Tony Cousins last week, that was defining for me what was his depiction of the rigor that the firm goes through to analyze. And so I came away thinking that probably institutionally and just resource-wise, Morgan does that. But Sigler clearly does that. At least it comes through that they do that. So if I had to take the top two right now, I have Morgan and Sigler. If I could go with three, I would add Bay Hills for all the reasons that we've already talked about. So that's where I'm at.
I wrote it before I came in, and after hearing everything,
I'm looking at your earlier.
Last week you had to change it. This week you're going to stick with it.
Sticking with it.
It's got an envelope in the box. Sticking in it.
Sigler Guff, and one of the reasons, main reasons for me is they're the most opposite of Pathway and.
Adam Street.
Right. And I like to have somebody. I also like Sigler Guff's program. I'd like when we did the real estate with him. So I'm going there and staying there, and that's one and only for me.
I also like Bay Hills, but I have reservations because they are relatively young. They have a short record history. My decision here is Sigler Guff again, partly because of their performance. They have a fairly good fee structure I can live with. They're one of the lowest out of all four.
One thing I like about them, we can negotiate with them because that's what they say they do. So we could do that.
Just so the board knows, we've already got preliminary indications from all four that they're willing to negotiate.
Okay.
Well, again, I thought Bay Hills did a great presentation. I didn't have a problem with the comment, but Sigler Guff said everything I wanted to hear and would convince me that we'd get a better return with them anyway. But so there's very little overlap with what we do already with Pathway.
Right.
So my decision is Sigler Guff.
So I would reiterate, thank you for putting, you know, bringing us some good candidates. Tough decision, all of them are, you know, I don't think we would go wrong with any of them. But I think, so just going down the line, my comments, Bay Hills, fees are enticing. However, having been on a site visit this week with a young management firm that is newly in either development or just entering their growth stage, I think in this space that I'd probably want to stay away from that right now. They've only got 2 years of SEC registration, and so I think that combined with an answer of only 50% board participation in their underlying funds, that I probably would leave that one. So I'll just be short. I can go through all the rest of the criteria, but I think I am sold on using Sigler Gough for this investment, for a lot of the reasons that have been presented. But you know, they have a solid history with us in another fund. Their experience is not as vast as the other two in this space, but I have confidence that they'll do a good job here.
I'll keep it short. I'll go with Singular. I like the co-investment, what they said about that. The employee investments also, they get involved, so they have, a goal to make it work and get the best they can out of it. So I'll pick Singular.
And I'm just wondering between JP and Singular, I feel the same for both. I think they both would be good.
I did have a question. I wrote this down. Singular Gough, why would we be a separate fund? Because the amount we're giving them as opposed, because the others we were going to all be commingled or
yeah, so I think
I've never seen that question.
The base proposal from all four firms was to go into a pre-existing fund, which is what we normally do. We also, some of them offered up the option of a separate account.
Is that a good thing or just a different way of managing it?
It's a different way of managing it. We wouldn't necessarily want to use it to create very custom guidelines. I think we want their best ideas. We want this to be discretionary. Whatever they're doing in their fund, they should be doing in a separate account. And we would actually structure it as a fund of one where we're the only limited partner in there. This is something we did with Pathway in the past. We got away from it for diversification reasons, but given that we're upping our allocation, where the diversification can be built into our account now. You can drive different economics in a separate account or fund of one than you can going into.
And is that advantageous to us?
Yes.
It allows us to add additional monies when we choose to and not just
when there's an opening or
raising money for a new fund. So.
Is there any concern in that, Tim, that, you know, I'm sort of going through scenarios in my mind that, that we've got more of something that we are less comfortable with, and rather than put it in our broad fund, let's put it over here in our fund of one. Is there a risk we can go the other direction in terms of overall performance because we get slightly less desirable either investments or amounts on a relative basis to what we would have had?
I would say if the underlying allocations are significantly different than what's in the fund, absolutely. What most of the firms proposed, and certainly what our comments back to these firms has been, is we basically want, you know, your best ideas in the same type of allocation as you're putting in the fund. We just don't want to pay the same freight.
We track that, or is that just something that we agree to and assume they follow?
No, it's not something we've actually implemented in the past. So the operations would be, we would develop it. When we had the relationship with Pathway, it was not something we explicitly tracked. It was something that was agreed upon with the firm, but not explicitly tracked. But we can definitely build in an explicit tracking mechanism if we want to go down that path.
Okay. You could end up with slightly different allocations due to timing. If you may be coming in before that fund and after another one, and some of the deals aren't available.
But the idea would be if they have a fund investing in the marketplace and they've identified a general partner that they want, and the say the fund is, you know, $80 million and we're, our account is $20 million, the fund should get 80% of that investment, we should get 20% of that. It should be identical to the, for the most part.
I'm just going to go ahead and make a motion that we just go ahead and do it with Singular Guff.
Second.
Subject to all the normal.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Subject to due diligence and the whole.
Well, before the motion is finalized, given that I've had conversations with the firms about possible alternative structures, and let me just walk you through what an alternative structure would look like. If we go with our historical model, we would be talking about a $50 million commitment today that would get invested over 3 years. 2 years from now, when they raise the next fund, we would then look at increasing that to probably, you know, 70, and then 2 years later to 80.
Yeah, but that's if it's going well.
That's if it's going well. What we could do alternatively in a fund of one structure is give visibility on, let's say, $200 million, what we would commit over three funds. We have the option within that fund structure to stop the investment period at any time if things are not going well. But the advantage of the firm is they've got greater visibility about the capital they have to deploy over a 5 to 7 year period, and we get our economics lowered. We pay a lower management fee.
If we commit more over a...
If we commit more up front...
With the understanding that we can always pull back.
Right, but it's basically saying if all goes well, we want this relationship to continue. So if we give you that visibility from day one with the option on our side to discontinue, we get the management fees lowered.
Jim, I'm not understanding what you're saying. Are you saying that we should commit more than the $50 million that was proposed?
Okay, let's commit in a different way.
Maybe we could do this. Do the motion that we hire Singular Guff in this space. The determination of amount and strategy
can go with that
recommendation after we talk to them and
fundamentally
change our decision on
come back with the way you want to invest it.
Sure.
Okay, let's do that because I think the board needs it in writing. I really think they need to see it.
We'll put together a chart for you all.
Okay.
But do you suggest that what you're proposing here would change our decision on who to go with?
No,
absolutely not.
Okay, then let's just who we're going
to
go with.
Once you selected who to go with, we can drive economics in a different direction, possibly.
Yeah, right. I just can only answer
putting
half the
twist
questions.
On it to get our heads going, you know?
No. I don't want it to drive
think
the selection process.
You
can
get
12%
from them on a hurdle basis.
Well, you 10. Let's raise it 10.
Let's think about it. Okay. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Abstention. Motion carries. Okay. Thank you, gentlemen, very much.
Nice question. In this business, do you write nice let-me-down letters?
They listen to a recording.
They'll hear the tape as soon as it's posted online.
Okay.
Oh, it is posted online. That's right. There is.
Right,
Tim goes back and leaves a voicemail message on their office phone.
To whom it may concern.
I mean, some letters are always thank you for replying.
Really?
Unfortunately, I mean, there was
we
a better case.
Yeah,
we talked
about it. Sure.
Okay.
We do it in a more kind, caring way.
Top turns.
Okay.
Good job, Bob.
Thank you.
This point. Regards.